Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, we love you to death. We do this show for you. I hope I don't sound too arrogant and too combative. Sometimes I really don't. If I hurt any of y'all's feelings, I really apologize. But I get really worked up. I'm very passionate about what we're doing. It cost us a fortune to me and Lee and the Blood River guys. It cost us a fortune to get this radio show going, and it's cost money every month. It's like a calling. It's like a reverend, a minister being called to preach the gospel. That's what this is. We're really and truly, I think we're preaching the gospel. I'm the one, I get away from it worse than anybody about being unchristian behavior. But if I have offended anybody that doesn't need offending, I apologize. The people that do need offending, I don't apologize for that. And you know who you are. It's the cowards of the world. The people that will not stand up for your own people. You'd let your own suffering people in South Africa and all over the country suffer. And you don't want, because you just don't want to be, you don't want to be depressed or be turned off, et cetera. Well, people, that's my little thing. It is November the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2019. You're listening to the second hour of Blood River Radio. We're getting ready to bring my brother Ike Baker on in a few minutes. He told me I'm so jealous. You know what? He had a 2-pound sirloin steak the dude's been chewing on, and he's complaining. I ain't got no steak down here. But we did have some shrimp, though, and some clams. The first time I've ever had clam my whole life. A gracious host down here, Sean, the president of the Mississippi League of the South, has had us down here to eating. Well, now, listen, I'm going to shut up right now. I'm getting ready to bring on another brother from the League of the South. His name is Joel Price, and we're going to bring him on, ask him a few questions. You're probably familiar with the type of questions. Joel, thank you so much for coming on our show today, brother.
Eddie Lee, thank you both for having me very much.
Yes, sir. Joel, how long have you, I assume you remember the League of the South.
I've been in the League of the South for 4 years now.
What made you join the league, and how long have you been an activist?
Well, I like to say that I've been an activist since birth. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm 44 years old, so I'm a product of the Reconstruction, school busing, and everything that goes involved with Birmingham, Alabama. Definitely have a chip on my shoulder about that, but in all honesty, sir, to answer, since I was 17.
Okay, since you were 17. You know, I remember back in about 1961, 62, I remember the Birmingham bombings. I was sitting on my front porch in the bad old good streets of South Memphis, where it was probably 80 to 90, at least 80% black. It finally went greater than that. And I couldn't get out of my house, even in the best of times. But let me tell you what, after that Birmingham church bombing, which was a setup, by the way, I had to sleep in my house with a Sweet 16 brownie. Most of you people don't know what that is. A Sweet 16 brownie by my bedside to my right side, and a model, a 1906 government issue 38 special under my pillow that I had to take to school sometimes. That's how I got introduced into the movement.
Eddie, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I would say if you were walking down 16th Street in Birmingham, Alabama right now, you probably need to have all that with you then, too.
Well, I'm sure, brother, you know what I'm talking about.
We've all gotten our education about blacks from blacks.
Amen to that. Hey, people, in case you don't recognize that, that's the guy who's complaining about to be on the show lately. He's been eating a 2-pound sirloin steak while we're out here eating sea rations in the field, man.
Brother, and by the way, hey, Joel, good to hear from you, brother. Hey,
Captain Baker, it's good to hear your voice.
Brother, we're going to be together again soon. Hey, listen, I ate every bite of it, too, all right? Every bite of it. I cooked it up rare and ate every bite of it. I earned it today. I hit the iron pile for 2 hours, did flat bench for a straight hour, so I earned it. You know, you're talking about Birmingham and the bombings and how the Southland has changed. I had the privilege of a little bit of speaking time at the conference in Alabama back in September. The topic of my discussion with our comrades was living in occupied Dixie as an unreconstructed Southerner. You know, we are products of the old South. We are not products of the new South. We are a blade in flesh, all right? And we don't care to see what's happened to our beloved Dixie. And by the grace of God Almighty, we're going to take it back, brothers. All right? We're going to take it back. We're going to retake everything. Hey, right quick, if I may, Joel, you were on the op this morning, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was. You know I was.
Felt pretty good, didn't it?
Do you know that is exactly what I like to do the most? My favorite thing, and one of the things I think that we do so well with the league, we do a good job of showing our enemy what we think about them. When we show our enemy what we truly think about them, we also show the world. I think that's where people get woke. I think when some young men get together on a very, very cold Mississippi morning and go show our enemies that we're audacious men, that we're glorious men, that we're the men that our God's intended us to be, I think it strikes a chord not only with our enemy, but I honestly believe that it shows our people that there is something that can be done beyond SEC football.
You are so
think that when you get out, man, it's good for the soul. And Captain Baker, I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know about, but that's sometimes when we're living our best, right?
It is. It is. That's when we're most alive. You know, this things like what we did this morning. I didn't have the opportunity to listen to the first hour of the show. Was the operation in Mississippi discussed this morning, Eddie? Was it discussed in the first hour of the show?
I turned my mic over to Sean.
Mike,
you and Sean are running the show, brother. I'm just down here facilitating.
Sean, I didn't know you were on with us. Good to talk to you too, bro.
Oh yeah. You know it. I was here on the first half, and in fact, Dr. Hill, he opened up the show with mentioning how successful the operation was, and it went great.
Now, rather than talk about the particulars of what we did this morning, which is important, it's been covered. This is one of the legs of what we're doing now. These occupations, and it's fair to call it that. We owned that ground for a few minutes. We owned that ground on the bridge a year and a half ago. We owned that ground at Central High School in Little Rock. That cold morning last winter, cold rainy morning, we owned that. We owned that little piece of real estate right there. And these are iconic places of the civil rights left. The civil rights left. Come on, they're the enemy of us each individually and personally, and they're the enemies of our way of life. So we're going to go out. There's no telling where the League of the South will show up next with an expeditionary party. You know, there are other places in the South. The whole South belongs to us by birth and by right and by the grace of God. We're going to show up at any one of these places that the left feels like belongs to them. Congratulations, Brother Chairman, on a fantastic operation this morning. We're going to do it again and again and again. And as you know, flash rallies are another component. You know, we reach out to our people. We show them. Joel made an excellent point, brothers. You know, when we do things like this, you know, we're putting a stick in the eye of our enemy. We're also showing people who think there are still folks like us out there who think they're alone. And when we do things like this, we show them you're not alone, and you don't have to be alone. Join us. We're a family. Join us. You know.
Captain Baker, I want to speak to that for a second, because I can definitely speak a lot about being alone in my life and feeling that way. And one of the things that is always...
Let's pick this back up after the break, Joel, okay?
Yes.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back. Appreciate you hanging on. It's November the 2nd, year of our Lord 2019. We're down here in Potts Camp, Mississippi. We're still being here. Just in case you people are tuning in late, we're in Potts Camp, Mississippi, the League of the South. Dr. Hill, the national president of the League of the South, was here earlier, spoke earlier today. We have Sean Winkler. He's the head of the Mississippi State League of the South. And we have some other members here. I'm going to ask this member, Joel Price, a question or two. I'm going to interview Ike Baker just for a second. Then I'm going to turn to the show. And then after I get through moving my little interview bit, I'm turning my mic and my headset back over to Sean, the head of the Mississippi League. Joel, going back to you, earlier you said you grew up in Birmingham, Mississippi. Where do you live now, Joel?
Birmingham, Alabama, sir.
Oh, you still live in Birmingham. So,
no, sir, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay,
you said Birmingham, Mississippi.
Oh, I'm sorry, Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes, sir, you know how Dr. King calls the Alabama racists the vicious ones?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we keep that Alabama. We're the vicious ones.
Yes, sir. I gotcha. Well, let me right quick, like, I don't know, my poor old memory and brain damage, I really do have brain damage. In case I ask you, bear with me, what brought you into the league? You said you were been in since 17, you've been in the movement since 17.
No, since I was 17 years old.
Yeah, 17, right.
Yes, sir.
Since 17 years
yes, sir.
Old, right.
What brought me into the league, I had a bunch of good brothers and sisters that seemed to find a good outlet for activism within the league. That opened my door to it. Obviously, the first time that I ever heard Dr. Hill speak, I had the occasion of sort of sharing somewhat of a hometown with Dr. Hill, so we had sort of had a built-in automatic relationship. He showed me that this cause was just. He showed me that this cause was about bigger things than just the antebellum-type thinking of the South. Dr. Hill showed me that a mint julep and a period costume and a young Negro man polishing a cannon was not going to win the war. That it took more than that, that you had to look sometimes outside of your homeland and embrace our entire European culture. Dr. Hill, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but he's a fan of saying that he's a white nationalist in addition to being a Southern nationalist. I'm a white nationalist by race. I'm a Southern nationalist because, by the grace of God, obviously, from Birmingham, Alabama, but that's exactly what brought me there. I know that that maybe is not how things were in times past, but when the league took a radical direction and started taking the fight to the streets, that's exactly the kind of thing that appealed to someone like me. It was very, very important to see the activism. It was very, very important to have a place to participate in that activism, sometimes even on the front ends of the stages, kind of back to what we were saying a second ago about being alone. I grew up in the movement And that is where I found myself. My life was a complete loneliness, family issues, blah, blah, blah. Same kind of thing that goes, that everybody in the world goes through. In the movement, I found myself. In the movement, I found things that made me. There's an equation that I always used to like to use in a former life that says honor and loyalty build unity. I learned that from the movement. The day that I learned the 14 words, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children," it changed my life forever. I would tell you that that is the answer to every single thing about any of this. Nationalism across the board. Love your people. Love your women. Love your race. It's all the exact same thing. I cannot say it enough. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children.
Joel, you said something that struck me. You said loyalty and...
Loyalty and honor.
Correct.
Equal unity.
Loyalty and honor equal unity?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got you. I would say, you know what? I would say, and I'm going to go back to Ike in just a second. I would say that you were who you were all along. Well, you, if you were like me, you were probably in an environment that didn't honor, that didn't value your values, your perceptions of life. myself, I became to Christianity real late in life. Let me ask you this before we go back to Ike. If I'm not putting you on the spot, exactly, and I'm a Christian, I think you can't do anything without God. We have to have God in this movement. But in your own words, Joel, what is your idea if we can ever achieve white nationalism? What is your idea of a white nationalist society? What would that entail? Give me the basic, the most important aspects of the white nationalist society.
Well, Eddie, once again, and I'm not trying to Alabama this to death, my first answer would be segregation. Today, tomorrow, and forever. But within the own white community, I would say just respect and love, because there's so many different things that add up to our culture as people. There's so many different ideas about what makes that right and what makes that special. And we as white people do so much we can to get in our own way. We try so hard to make division where there is not supposed to be any. We can't all just be happy that we're the true children of God. We can't all just be happy that we have the spark that no one else has. My ruddy cheeks right now, that should be enough to make us all happy. But we try so hard to complicate the movement, and it's the least complicated thing in the world, because think about something that you and Lee saw today. Just at this event, it's a League of the South event, but you obviously see the Ku Klux Klan represented, various chapters, claverns, I apologize. You also saw evidence of this wonderful raffle. Well, the book on the raffle belonged to a young man from Austria who was a painter. He did a few other things throughout history. I can't remember what everything else he did, but it all seemed very positive. But, you know, you saw so much different ideas coming together, and you saw it where it actually hit the funnel and it became something, you know, the liquid became thicker. It became molten steel. It just got so much more significant and so much more important, because like I said, you know, and I have a hang up. I was talking about the antebellum South earlier. I have a real big hang up about some of our cousins or friends or whatever in the sons. You know, they do everything they possibly can do to get in their way. They are absolutely working as enemies. Anyone that does not make the movement a welcoming thing to a newcomer, I mean, is a traitor. Point simple. The movement should be the most welcoming thing. The movement should be just as welcoming for you or Lee right now, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, you guys are obviously already on board, but the movement should be just as welcoming for any 17-year-old kid or any 47-year-old woman or any 93-year-old woman or, you know, Methuselah. It should be just as welcoming for anyone. It should be that. It should absolutely be where our young people run. Our young people should not run to bastardized, cuckold ideas of Negro dominance. They should not have to run to the automatic implied degeneracy of everyday life. They should be able to run to their own people. The people that were somehow or another smart enough, brave enough, strong enough, whatever, they could get themselves over the Caucasus Mountains. They could get themselves to Europe. They could get themselves in a wooden boat on a frozen lake or a frozen ocean, and they could get wherever we could get to be where we are today. Those are our people. They're the same people that we should embrace, not run from. They're the exact role models. And I know in this day and age, it's a lot easier to look back into history for role models other than what you see in front of you. But if you really, really look in front of you, you have lots of really good brothers and sisters that do have their heads on straight, that know how to welcome a newcomer, that know how to sometimes welcome back an old comer.
Wow, that's the movement, Joe. That really is.
Thank you, sir. The movement to me, I don't want to use these words because when you start using the R word, you know, when you start saying religion, it freaks everybody out. I think your spirituality is and your faith are completely different from what your religion should be. To me, your religion should be the movement, or you could say the cause. To me, the words intermingle. And I know, and once again, that's another thing within the movement. People, well, we're talking about the movement, or we're talking about the cause. Stop talking about anything other than white purity, white preservation. Start talking about anything other than the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. It does not get any more simple than that. And that applies in Berlin, Germany. That applies in Birmingham, Alabama. That definitely applies in Potts Camp, Mississippi. And, you know, it's just, I hate to use the word universal because I don't want any connotation to ever come that this is a universal thing, because it's not. It's specific. It's for a certain group of people, the Adamic race, the white Anglo-Saxons, the Caucasians. Any of these words add up to the same thing, white nationalism. Love yourself, love who you are, and if you are already woke, as you should say,
Well, Joel, hear the music coming? I don't know how anyone could be more eloquent than that. When we come back, we're going to go straight back to Ike, and I'm with that, as soon as we come back, and bring it back from the break, I'm going to bring us back. We'll go to Ike, and then I'm going to turn my mic over to Sean. Be right back, people. Hang on.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The president's home state may not let him go to Florida without a fight. Trump's plan to shift his permanent residence to Palm Beach will likely be heavily scrutinized by New York State officials, who are notorious for auditing wealthy residents seeking to flee to lower tax states to make sure such moves are real and not just on paper. Even though it appears Trump has a strong case, as he's only spent a few nights at his Trump Tower penthouse overlooking Fifth Avenue since he became president, tax officials say it's not a matter of if he will be audited, but when. The general rule for avoiding New York taxes is to spend less than 184 days of the year in the state. In announcing his move, Trump said, "New York City will always have a special place in my heart, but despite paying millions of dollars in city, state, and local taxes each year, I've been treated very badly by the political leaders of both the city and the state." In Florida, Trump would pay zero income taxes and zero estate tax. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll-free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Rootwall.com.
A new study shows that decorating early for Christmas might make you a happier person. John Clements reports.
The study, published in the Journal of Environmental Psychology, found people often associate Christmas decorations with feelings of all the excitement from childhood. Steve McEwen, the founder of Mind Fixtures, tells us, in a world full of stress and anxiety, people like to associate the things that make them happy, and Christmas decorations evoke strong feelings of the childhood days. This sense of nostalgia can definitely boost your happiness, but it can also be mixed with sadness. If you lost a loved one, for example, decorating early can help you connect to the positive memories. I'm John Clemens.
Beto O'Rourke, the former Texas congressman, announced that he was ending his Democratic presidential campaign, which failed to capture the enthusiasm, interest, and fundraising of his 2018 Senate race. Addressing supporters in Iowa, O'Rourke said while his campaign was ending, he planned to stay active in the fight to defeat President Donald Trump. This is USA Radio News.
People, I was letting that music go a little longer than usual because I think it fits the occasion where we are. I won't say what that song is. I'll just say that yours truly, you're listening to the guy who I handpicked that show. We're hardcore. What can I say? But anyway, we're coming right back after the broadcast. I think Joel did an amazing, eloquent job. And I'm just going to say this before we go to Ike. People, these are the kind of people that we interview, the people, League of the South, the Klansmen. They're portrayed by the media as being toothless, backwood ninnies. They're the most eloquent people I've ever seen. We have a guy over there in Harrison, Arkansas, by the name of Tom Bowie. We call him the Socrates of the Ozarks. He's so eloquent. He lives in a lean-to in the Ozark Mountains. He's so eloquent. Anyway, Ike, I'm going to go back to you, and as soon as I ask you a question, I'm turning the rest of the show over to Sean and you. Ike, okay. What do you think about what Joel said, fella?
I got to tell you, he nailed it. He nailed it perfectly. He's great. He conveys a thought and gets across an idea completely, thoroughly, and in a way that makes you want to listen to him. I'm gonna advocate the idea in the league that we take advantage of that talent he obviously has. He's well spoken. He knows his material. He's as true a comrade as any that I have. And he's in a. And there's a large crowd of those. I was very proud of him. He did great. And, you know, the points that he made were dead nut on, you know. The most important thing is our blood. We're not a club. We're a blood. You can't join this club. You're either born into it or you are not. And I think we all know when this all comes flying apart and it's headed that way, your skin is going to be your uniform, period and end of the story. And we who have forged alliances, who have made bonds with each other, broken bread together, gone into harm's way together, we're at that point in time going to be a leg up on the organization and the benefits that come from organization. At a time like that, I think the critical mass of woke whites, newly woke whites, who will come to us, I think it's going to be phenomenal. I think we will hit that critical mass. I read a piece week before, 70% of Americans cross the board, not 70% of us, I think 100% of us think this, but 70% of Americans across the board believe that a civil war is unavoidable and imminent. Well, gentlemen, I'm an accelerationist, all right? I've got several good fights left in me. I'm not yet 60 years old. I've worked awfully hard over the last couple of years to reattain something that I thought was gone forever. I'd really like to locate, close with, and destroy some Antifa. And wouldn't we all, brothers? Sean, Joel, there, pal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I was just trying to follow which direction to go here. but yeah, you know, I think, too, that there's – I was bringing that up a little earlier that we you bring up the fact of the talks of civil war, and we are there's no doubt about it that we're coming into something of that nature. We got to be. Even the Trumpsters are talking about it now, you know, and
that's right,
you know, and the Democrats are now talking about it. You know, the ones that want to take our guns, they're talking about revolution now. It's like, wow, it's coming. It's hitting a boiling point here sooner or later. I think it's only a matter of time. And, you know, someone just asked me that earlier this morning. I said, well, Sean, do you think that the upcoming civil war, and we're not going to say if, we're going to say when the civil war comes, do you believe it's going to be a racial one? I'm like, well, you know, I'm not so much sure if it's going to be racial, more ideology. You know, it's really, I think honestly, it's going to be one of the things that's just going to kind of go. And then, you know, it's weird. That same person asked me that, asked Dr. Hill the exact same question an hour later, and he gave her almost the exact same answer. And it was kind of crazy. You know, he didn't even hear me, not hear him give his answer.
Exactly.
But
you know, where we're at this point in this culture overall, this popular culture that we loathe so much, we're at a point where there's opposing forces that there is no reconciliation possible. Reconciliation to our enemies just means we come closer to doing things their way until they can eventually prevail over us. They would never come to meet us in the center of anything. I don't want reconciliation with these people. They don't want reconciliation with us. We're at a point of nearly irreconcilable irreconcilable differences, great cultural upheavals pulling in opposite directions. You know, the other side believes there's legitimately 65 genders. we know there are two, all right? And they talk about proven. They talk about their global warming scam as if it's proven science. They use that expression. Well, I'm pretty sure any geneticist can tell you that the fact there's two genders is also proven science. And you know what this brings me to is this: if you look back to the last Civil War, okay? Well, actually, the War for Southern Independence would be what we consider that. So take 1858 as an example, Sean. Okay, there were tremendous societal forces pulling in opposite directions in this country. Something was obviously coming. Reconciliation did not seem possible, but nobody foresaw Shiloh. Nobody foresaw Gettysburg. Nobody foresaw the Wilderness, where they fought for eight straight days in a forest fire. Nobody foresaw these things, this cataclysmic event. I dialed into this some years back. A book was published that just caught my eye. It had to be 20 years ago, I'm guessing. It was two authors who wrote it collaboratively. It's called The Fourth Turning. And they go back through recorded history, and they can graph out the fact that there's been four specific steps to a repeating phase of history over and over and over. Events don't necessarily repeat, but the phases do. And we are at the end of a third turning right now. A fourth turning is an upheaval, the Civil War, the War for Southern Independence, 1861-1865. Where will we be if and or when this kicks off? Well, my wish is that we're right in the thick of it. You know, history turns on small groups of activists or even sometimes individual activists. A good friend of mine said something to me before we went to Pikeville. He's a retired coal miner. Doesn't really get around that great because, you know, working in a four-foot-high workspace for a career will break you, man, physically. But he said to me he had to be at Pikeville. Pikeville, as you recollect, was really after the fracas at Auburn University back in the spring of 2017, Pikeville was where the open opposition in street activism really took off. A week later, we had New Orleans. Later on that summer, we had Charlottesville. But this comrade, he's a league brother, he said, I can't miss this. He says, because one of these is going to be where it all starts. And you know, Sean, he's right. He's right.
Let me ask you a quick question, Mike, before we go back to Sean. I know you mentioned events don't repeat necessarily. What about this? Give us a quick summation of your opinion on what's all about this this so-called impeachment of Donald Trump, and is that going to be the spark? Is that going to be the shot heard around the world, Ike? And then back to you, Sean, after Ike's through.
I'm of mixed opinions about that because, firstly, I don't think they'll actually get it done. I really don't believe they will. I think this is all the end game of a ploy by the Democrats and the leftists of this country to reverse the results of an election, the 2016 election. If you think back to one of the debates, Hillary, she asked him if he would guarantee that he would accept the results of an election. And he hedged that a little bit because the Democrats are notorious for cheating, but she tried to take the moral high ground. Well, here we are, nearly 3 years later. And who is the party that has not accepted the results of an election? I think it's all about reversing an election that they don't like the results of. Now, if I'm wrong and they do impeach him and then the Senate votes to convict, what might happen then? Well, he's got a tremendous base of grassroots support in this country. I look at him as somebody who doesn't really represent me, and he's really not one of my people. But he does give that vague impression. He is kind of a rough guy, even though he's a billionaire. And he's certainly not a Democrat. He's certainly not these leftist, communist, socialistic statists who want us disarmed, all living in mass housing. You know, they want to bring us in out of the rural areas. So there's a lot of us who are rural men in this movement. Some are not, but a lot of us are. I'm a rural man. I'm not willing to be dragged off my ridge in the Appalachians and forced into a Hong Kong style apartment block somewhere. And that's that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Is it called Plan 21 or something like that from the United Nations?
Agenda 21. Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah. Agenda 21. Okay. You know. So. You know, What will happen if they impeach him? God almighty, I hope something. I hope this culture is not so thoroughly neutered that they take that land down. They've taken everything land down. You know, we've watched the long march of the communists through all our institutions. I know when I was on with Pastor Rob a couple of months ago, he kind of took issue with the fact that I said they control academia, they control finance, they control the media, and I got a tremendous amount of respect for that man. So I'm willing to go along with his terminology. They're just vastly overrepresented in those areas.
You know, Ike, we're getting ready to go to the music, folks. We've got to go, but I don't know. I think the facts talk to themselves. If they don't control everything right now, I don't know what the hell else it would be. Anyway, people, you're listening to one of the most fascinating shows we've done on the road, and we're here in Pottstown, Mississippi. We'll be right back in just a minute, people. Hang on to your seats. We've got one more segment.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It ain't gonna happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Well, people, we're right back. I always like to listen to that music a little bit more than necessary. You've heard me say a million times, but a little cover host, Matt Goodwin, picked that song. I love it to death. But anyway, we're coming back after the break. This will be our last segment. I'm going to go back, and I'd like to just comment on what Ike said, and then I'm going to shut my mouth. We're going to go back to Sean. Sean's going to respond to Ike. You know, you nailed it right on the money, Ike. Trump's not a Democrat. I don't even think he's a Republican. I don't know really what he is. He's done very little things that really help us. Like Ike said, to parrot what Ike said, he's putting our brothers in jail. He said a lot of good things, and like just to parrot what the media says, the media will say they think he's a nationalist because he said some nationalist thing, but he never put Hillary in jail. We don't have the border. He's the supreme commander of the military. He hasn't brought the military home to place them in the borders like he should. So I don't really know what's going on with this. This thing is going on. But anyway, I'm going to shut up right now. I'm going to go back to turning the show over to Sean. Sean, back to you. Would you respond to what Ike said, Sean?
Sure. Yeah. That's a good topic and subject to get onto with the Trump issues here. Because that's a hot topic here in the national news. Everybody is just really, all the Trumpsters are going crazy. As a lot of people know, Trump here locally, he was just in Tupelo, Mississippi last night. And, I couldn't help but to notice how many people were holding up Israeli flags in the audience. Just absolutely astounding. And you know what in a pathetic way, and what I couldn't believe, there was people that was talking about coming down to our event and said, well, man, we'll come to your event only because we can go see Donald Trump first. I said, well, wow. Don't waste your time. We don't want you here because you come to see Donald Trump. We want you here because to recognize that he's part of the problem. He's a puppet for Israel. I believe, in my heart, and I ain't saying it's because I support him. I'm saying because I believe it's just how it is. He's going to be the cause, if there is a civil war erupts, he's going to be the cause of it, just for all his Trumpomaniacs going haywire over him tweeting and getting on Facebook and stuff, kind of nonstop running his chops about whatever, when we all know his secrets, their little secrets are just as evil is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is just an open communist, and he's just an open liberal, and he's just an open gun grabber. Donald Trump is doing it all under the name of patriotism, and these people are falling for it, and it's pretty pathetic.
Let me ask Ike a question now. Ike, is Jared Kushner, this is a two-part question, is Jared Kushner the true power in the White House? And secondly, will the servers that are in the Ukraine, will they come to the salvation of Trump in any way? Go, take it away, Ike.
Okay. As far as Kushner goes, he's certainly the power behind the throne. He's an unelected Jew with a tremendous amount of influence over his father-in-law. I mean, we need to keep one thing in mind. Donald Trump wore a tuxedo and walked his daughter up the aisle in a synagogue of Satan and gave his beautiful white daughter to that vermin. Okay, let's not forget that when we talk about who Donald Trump is, he gave his daughter to that son of Satan right there. He's got an undue amount of influence over Donald Trump. I'm almost certain he actually has an office in the West Wing of the White House, and I'm certain I read that. So, Kushner may not be the actual power, but he's certainly got undue influence on a president that a lot of Americans, just like us, really and truly thought was going to be some sort of saving grace. I can't say I ever really believed that, but Christopher Cantwell nailed it in that interview that he gave to that little reporter while Charlottesville was actually going on, much to his later chagrin that he did that. But Donald Trump is not one of us. What he is he's not a Democrat. I mean, they hate the guy. You can see that. Now, the other portion of your question, phrase that back to me. I want to formulate a good answer, Eddie.
According to Rubio, what Giuliani in the scuttlebutt is, there are the servers with all the thousands and thousands of Hillary deleted emails or in the Ukraine. They also have, they say, the goods owned our man, Jared Kushner, who's really a first-hand man. He's like joining the hip with Benjamin Netanyahu. They have all this sexual stuff with the stuff from a pedophile island. Supposedly, all this goods that we're talking about, they're on the server somewhere in the Ukraine. I'm wondering if Donald even knows where they are. So that's what I was asking you. Are those servers going to come to his salvation, or are they going to start some kind of hellish scenario?
Okay, I thought you might have been referring to the servers that Hillary's emails are stored on, were captured on, whatever the case might be. That's why I should phrase that back to me, if you would. Are they going to come to his saving grace? I think the deep state will prevent that from happening, frankly. The intelligence community in this country, and there's an oxymoron, the intelligence community in this country is soundly against him. I don't think that they'll... No, the short answer is no. I don't think that's going to be his salvation. I don't. I think his only salvation may be if he can hold together that coalition of people who voted for him almost 3 years ago, and that they come out and do it again a year from next week, and he gets reelected. I can't say I'm really very invested in the American national political environment. I'm really not. But anything that makes
like servers
squeal like little stuck pigs makes me happy. And if Donald Trump gets reelected, I'm not going to feel like, well, great, we've got our fellow white nationalist in the White House, because we know he's not that. But what it'll do is it'll drive these Democrats yet more insane, if that's possible. And to me, Eddie, that's always a good thing.
Amen.
Like these servers I was referencing, supposedly the servers I'm referencing are in the Ukraine. The Ukrainian government has them. Some people say this Russians have a hold of them now. And it's supposedly, if they can get these, it can bring the entire sexual people down, who's, Jared Kushner's involved in that stuff. I don't have the details on it, but that was the servers I was talking about. Sean, what would you like to comment on that, brother?
As far as commenting in on the Trump escapades, I pretty much added what my commentary. I never really want to waste too much time talking about the guy, to be honest with you. I just always like the primary effects. I think Brother Ike brought up a good point. You know, he's not one of us, but you know what? If he stirs up the Democrats and the commies, then I guess that's a plus for us too. And because it's kind of interesting, because, you know, if he gets impeached, the Trumpsters are threatening civil war. If he gets reelected, the Democrats are threatening civil war. So, I mean, it's kind of like a win-win somewhere along the line. That's really pretty much my opinion on it, you know. And I got out of elections and voting and stuff years ago just for this reason. I feel it's all fixed riggings for a reason. I believe the powers that be much above higher than Trump or anybody else is the ones that choose to put the elites, should we say, in and above us, the leaders, country leaders and stuff. So I think that, you know, it's just it's one of those deals. And that's why I take a primary focus on just focusing on my local activities and my local politicians and local races, I will, but I certainly don't pay no mind to anything on the federal levels.
That's a great answer. People, I've neglected to say, coming in the last break, we are bringing this show from Pothcamp, Mississippi. Me and Lee Cochran, we brought Blood River Radio on the railroad down in Pothcamp, Mississippi. This is the second weekend of the month. That's when we bring on the League of the South, and the League of the South will be on the first Saturday of every month. And please, people, if you will, in case you tune in late, we're trying to raise money for the League of the South, specifically for Dr. Michael Hill and his second in command, Michael Tubbs. They're being drug into federal court. We don't know when, but you need send all the money you can to the League of the South. Contact Blood River Radio if you have a trouble locating them. And Ike, we're about to run out. Ike, close out the show, brother.
All right. Sean made a good point that the American federal political process is really not something that is applicable to us as Southern nationalists, and it's certainly not applicable to white nationalism. This government that so many people who look like us thought was going to be the saving grace, the savior of this country, he's put our brothers in prison. He's done more against the Second Amendment than Obama ever did. He's got a key advisor who he gave his daughter to, who has his ear on everything that Kushner seems to want, Kushner gets. So I happen to agree with Sean 150%. Now, when the Democrats take power again and have all the levers of power, they're going to come after us with a vengeance. Period. End of the story. Because they've been out of power. They don't like to be out of power. And at that point, as an accelerationist, maybe this party kicks off. All right. That's how I feel about the American political system. There's been some excellent points made in the second hour of the show tonight. Joel made some great points about the cause and the need to make our brothers and sisters out there who do feel like they're by themselves, to let them know that they're not by themselves. It's a wonderful thing to see somebody come awake and then bring them into the fold. I think we've all had the opportunity to do that at one time or another. So that was an excellent point that he made. And on a day when the League went out and yet again occupied a piece of ground that our sworn enemies really believe belongs to them, November 2nd, 2019, has been a fine day to be a white nationalist.
Amen.
And a Southern
absolutely
nationalist and a League of the South brother.
Amen. Well, people, we're about just about out of time. Well, the music will be coming on any second, but like I said, the first weekend of every month is going to be, you're going to hear it talk almost like you've heard tonight. It's been dedicated to the League of the South. We donated our show to the League of the South, which I'm a member of the League of the South too, in case you'd like to know. Anyway, people, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Me and Lee will be going back on the road again when, I don't know, whenever the duty calls. But thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Ike. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Sam and Bethany. Thank you so much for keeping us on the air flawlessly. God bless you, people. I love you to death. That's why we do this. Keep us in your prayers. Good night, everyone. Good night.